My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt. He represents the Old Dominion 7th Congressional District, is a member of the House Budget Committee, and taught economics at the college level for 20 years. He joins me now to discuss the framework for tax reform outlined by President Trump and embraced by both Republican leaders and the House Freedom Caucus, which he is a member of. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, hey, great to be on, Greg. Thank you.
It's instant approval, it seemed like, from the Freedom Caucus. Perhaps you knew what was coming. Perhaps it was just clear from the framework that you've seen that this was something that ought to be pursued. Why was this an easy yes for you and your colleagues?
Yeah, well, the easy yes was just on the it's part of the whole budget negotiation process. We just wanted to know, roughly speaking, what's in this tax package. You know, is the S-Corp going to be taken care of? Is it rate reductions? Is it enough to get economic growth? And they came out with a good plan that satisfied all those major categories and bullets. So we know the rates are all good. It's pro-growth. It's going to make the U.S. competitive with the rest of the world. We currently have the top corporate rate, 35. It's going to go down to 20. And then the S-Corps are going to go, the top rate's 39 right now, pass through to your personal income tax, the highest personal income tax rate is 39. That'll go down to 25. So that, again, is a significant pro-growth piece for the small business person that generates 70% of all the jobs. And so that's what we want. And then, you know, Ireland's got a 12.5% corporate rate. So all our firms are going over there and setting up a shell, a shop. We want to bring that money back. That's $2 trillion in capital equipment, which is the major cause of economic growth, right? Rich countries, your people work with a lot of capital equipment. Poor countries don't have their people working with capital equipment. And so, in a sense, it's about that easy. And the overall most important thing is just you compare this tax system with a status quo where we have no growth, right? We've been growing at 0 or 1 or 2% tops. This gets us to at least back to norms, looking at 3%, maybe 4%. And if we get people, you know, right now people are leaving the workforce, the labor force participation rate's the lowest it's been in 40 years. So this, if this thing gets the psychology going positive and the animal spirits, some economists call them, but get the optimism flowing, you know, kids will be pro-business, people get back in the workforce, and then you got a virtuous circle instead of the opposite. So I'm optimistic, but this is just the system on paper, right? Now we're going to go head-to-head with a swamp, and K Street will come in and, you know, try to get every special deal and deduction, et cetera. And all of those will come at the expense of the American people. So we're going to keep our eyes open as well.
Let's talk about a couple of things that you mentioned there in passing, Congressman. First of all, you mentioned this was part of the budget process, and I know certain things in that process need to be done and concluded and decided upon before you can actually get rolling on formal legislation on tax reform. What are those things, and how close are you to having them done?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, there's a couple details. The only big thing left is, are we going to include health care and tax in the next budget reconciliation package? But we've already done all 12 appropriations bills, so this was called the budget resolution. It has a couple $100 billion in mandatory savings, which we fought for, which is a good thing. But that was about it. And so this thing was just about the tax piece. And then Karl Rove wrote a cynical, biting piece against the Freedom Caucus and others. And he said, just pass it. You don't need to see what's in it, right? Just pass the tax thing.
Where have we heard that before?
I know. It's like, are you kidding me? And so when K Street and the cronies say that, they probably know more about what's in it, right, than I do. And that makes your radar go up all the more. When they're saying just pass it without seeing it, it's like, okay, somebody you're protecting has a hidden nugget in there. And my job is to look out for my constituents.
Let's talk a little bit about what's in it for. We talked about the business side. Let's talk about, on the personal side, individual income taxes. On the one hand, we're simplifying the number of brackets, and everyone, it looks like, is going to get a reduction. At the same time, we're getting rid of a lot of deductions. And so is this more about simplification or reduction, or is it a double approach here?
Yeah, it's a combination. And the one confusing part at the lower end, the lowest rate goes from 10 to 12%. And so the Democrats, of course, are jumping all over that. You're taxing the poor more. But it's actually, as Paul Ryan has said umpteen times now, it's actually 10 to 0. because they're skipping off the biggest detail. That's a $26,000 deduction for a couple, right? So we're going to have the bottom income earners are going to pay zero income tax. And so you have people at the other, you know, Levin and people who are fiscal hawks, they're worried we're creating too many people that don't have skin in the game. So there's a balancing act there, but, you know, roughly speaking, Trump is trying to do a middle-class tax package. So people are going to lose some of their deductions, but you're going to get much lower rates, right? So even if you break even, just say, and I don't think you will, I think you'll be better off just on that. But what people can't forget about is it's pro-growth. So if your stock market and retirement account isn't growing, and if the economy isn't growing, and if your income and your wage rate isn't growing over time, right, you're losing all the power of compounding and everything. In the old days, we just expected this line would go straight up. But the average wage rate has been flat or up, you know, 1% for 30 years for most workers. And so that's why you got a lot of political anxiety, and you had a phenomenon which went from Bernie all the way through the Midwestern states, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all the way into Trump. And so everybody across the country knows the middle class has not been keeping up, and they know the system's rigged toward the elites in D.C. and the swamp, and they want to change. And so this is our attempt to do justice to the middle class, and so hopefully we're getting there.
Two quick questions, sir. I know you've got to run. Just real quick follow-up on the point you just made. How confident are you that these tax cuts, particularly on the corporate side, will create the kind of growth necessary to offset what some folks are projecting would be the immediate deficit impact?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty optimistic, right? I mean, if you just get, you know, the economy is, you know, $18, $20 trillion. If you grow at 1%, you know, 1% of $20 trillion is a giant number, $200 billion or so. And that we have to make up $1.5 trillion in deficit over 10 years. And so, you know, that's the dynamics we're talking about. We got to create a virtuous cycle of getting kids to be pro-business. K-12 education's got to do a lot better. But basically, if we get people entering the labor force instead of leaving, I think we can get back to the good old days. JFK got 4 to 5% growth. It's bipartisan, right? He was pro-tax cuts, pro-supply side, pro-business. Reagan did the same thing. You got Van Halen. Everything was positive back in the 80s, right? We need a little bit more Van Halen. Cut the depressing stuff. We need to get positive again.
Real quick, on a different topic, one of the big issues that fueled your path to Congress was immigration. The president in recent weeks talking about trying to strike a deal with Democrats to enshrine DACA into statute, but he wants some pretty significant border security or immigration reform policies to go along with that. You have an update for us. What's new on that front?
Yeah, well, the president got a little ambitious and maybe optimistic with a deal with the Democrats, and he walked some of that back since then. And so, I mean, basically, it's almost laughable, right, that we should be trading a wall for DACA or Dreamers or whatever. He won the election, right? I mean, in eighth grade civics, when you win the House and the Senate and the White House, you're entitled to some of the wins, right? And so the wall was just part of the election process. And so really to get the immigration story straight, you got to do what we were just talking about. You got immigration and all the controversy has to do with economics, right? It always is follow the money. And so you got to fix the labor market, the welfare system, K-12. We got to get these kids jobs. Then you won't have all this contentious hot button issues around DACA and all this. You know, everybody wants to help kids, et cetera, but we want to do it legally. But first you got to get your own house in order. And so on top of fixing the labor market, I think just the absolute prerequisites to see if the left is serious is E-Verify, which just means you hire people legally. And then you got to end chain migration, which means you can not only bring in your immediate family, but your entire extended family, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and their relations. And then the number just multiplies and multiplies. And so that we need a package that first does those, right? You got to first, if you announce DACA is going into place, right, some new status for the kids, then what is the immediate signal? It's a green light at the border, and you get what we had in 2014. You get a border search of kids coming, and that's tragic. They're without their parents, right? So that's not the rational system of immigration we want to see. And so it's basically just common sense. But the left has to meet us halfway. They should meet us more than halfway because we won the House and the Senate and the White House. And I think President Trump was ambitious. He wants to make a deal. But he has all the levers, right? And so the Democrats, we should compromise with them, work with them. But, hey, let's get the story straight. And so that's the basic framework, I think, going forward.
Congressman, a lot on your plate here. A lot is expected to get done here in the next few weeks, and so we'll see how far you guys can get. Thanks very much for your time today.
Hey, you bet. Anytime. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District. Member of the House Budget Committee, I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.